Well, good morning, and thank you all for being here today. You're in for a real treat. Now, I could talk about Harold's accomplishments inside your program. There's a long list. And I have to tell you that the last 16 years, I've probably hired close to 100 speakers. And I would say that Harold's resume is one of the most diverse and interesting ones that I've ever seen. And exciting, you know, all the way from Nassau scientist to multiple entrepreneur that you can read about in your program, as well as founding dean here of Johnson County Community College. Many, many things. One thing I noted, though, that's not listed in here that I wanted to just kind of briefly tell you a quick story that he also has done that was revolving around his humble determination. As I've gotten to know Harold some over the years, I would say his humble determination has been incredible. And one example of that is several years ago, Harold came to me and said that some people had approached him about doing a movie on his life, and that he was trying to help them and partner with us to raise the money and to develop this movie. And so he showed me the proposal on it, and I got to admit that it looked to me like when Harold left, I thought, boy, this is a 3 to 5 year project if it gets done, and this is a pretty big undertaking. And it was probably 18 months later or so that I bumped into Harold again. I said, so how's it going? Have you raised any money for this movie? And he said, well, it's done. I just got back from Mexico, and it's done. And I said, well, who was in it? And he said, well, the former Senator Fred Thompson played the role of Harold Finch. And that's just this humble determination that he's been a man of action, has gotten so much done in his life that it's an amazing story. So you're in for a real treat. Let's give a warm welcome to Harold Finch.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much, Rick. And I wanted to make a note about CBMC. They have sponsored this prayer breakfast from the beginning, 43 years, I believe. And I think we should give them a thanks. And thank you all for believing in the importance of prayer. I want to begin by asking two questions to get to know my audience a little better. First of all, how many of you believe in prayer? All right. Second question, how many of you are totally satisfied with your prayer life? All right, I think we're all on the same page. The next 34 minutes, I want to share 7 lessons I have learned about prayer in my life. I know I'm going to be preaching to the choir, but we all need reminders. I'm going to use personal illustrations. I like to use personal stories because I know they are true. They're not fake news. I began praying as a little boy, but mostly out of fear. Fear of bullies, fear of my father, fear of speaking in the classroom, fear of my lack of ability, fear of my lack of talent. But God doesn't want us to live in fear. The Bible says, one of my favorite verses, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And so as I prayed as a little boy, my fears gradually began to morph into peace. So the first lesson that I learned is that prayer is the best prescription for anxiety and stress. It has no cost attached to it, and there's no harmful side effects. But my wise mother told me more than once, she said, Harold, God has much more for you. You have a God who loves you, and you have a good brain that he gave you. With God, you can do anything. And that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 19:26. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all all things are possible. But it wasn't until Sputnik that I learned how to apply this verse to impossible challenges. I'd just gotten out of graduate school, went to work at Midwest Research Institute here in Kansas City. At that time, the United States was in a heated race with Russia to be the first to the moon. NASA was seeking bidders to develop the technology to protect Apollo and its astronauts from killer temperature extremes. Competition for NASA's AHP, Apollo heating program, was fierce. Surely, one of the aerospace giants would get this plum project, Boeing Douglas Grumman. I told my boss, I said, I'd like to bid. And he just laughed right in my face. He said, you have no experience, you have no knowledge. He said, Harold, frankly, you're a nobody. He's a great motivator of young men. And then he said, my four favorite words all through my life is, you can't do that. Yes. And although I was only in my 20s, I had to prove him wrong. I thought all I had to do was find a way to level the playing field. And that's when I learned praying 30 minutes a day isn't enough. And so I went on a prayer retreat, an all-day prayer retreat, brainstorming with a twist. Just two people in that prayer retreat, me and Jesus, the creator of the universe. That's hard work. Just talking to God, connecting, praying, reading the Bible, talking about the impossible. And so at lunchtime, I had to take a break just to rest my mind. And I went over to a barbecue restaurant on the plaza just to unwind and was sitting there. And I had an aha moment. I saw a pig on a rotisserie. I said, that's it! These chefs know more about science, space science than the NASA scientists. I ran back to the Midwest research and said to my boss, I got the answer. He said, yeah, Harold, what's that? I said, it's the barbecue roll. And he laughed again in my face. He said, you are crazy. He said, NASA is not going to spin a lunar spacecraft like a pig in orbit. The rest is history. I want you to watch a short clip from Apollo 13 and from NASA itself. Okay, the barbecue roll born in Kansas City. A touch of irony, my friend, my boss, ended up working for me. But the barbecue roll was the first of six impossible dreams in my life, each powered by God, certainly not by me. And the Jesus prayer retreat was the center of every one of them. And that's, if you just remember one thing, remember the Jesus prayer retreat, you and the creator of the universe. It's the most important principle that I have used in my life and that I've taught around the world. So the second lesson that I've learned is that an impossible challenge is an opportunity to go on a prayer retreat with the creator of the universe. Years later, I was asked by the International Mission Board to recruit 70 volunteers to do evangelism in Maracaibo, Venezuela. First guy I asked was Al Fraser. He was a lived in Overland Park, and he was a tractor salesman. And he was shy, he'd never taught, he'd never preached. So why did I ask Al? Because he was a mighty prayer warrior. And he said, but Harold, I can't. He said, I can't speak. I don't have the ability. I told him, well, Al, God doesn't need your ability. He wants your availability. Just pray about it. And he did. And not long after that, he and two others from this area were meeting with a local pastor, Esaias in Maracaibo, under a tree. And Esaias was telling how he didn't have a church building. He said, I just have to go into the city streets and pray and preach. He said a large company in the United States had sent him a tent, but he said it's in a bunch of crates. He said it's the instructions are in English. I have no clue how to set that up. And they went and looked at the crates, and Al just about fainted. He said, this is the very tent that I use in the Midwest to exhibit tractors. He said, the four of us can set this up in a day. Since then, thousands, probably 10,000, have heard the gospel in that tent because of one ordinary man who prayed and put feet to his prayer. Third lesson, prayer gives us courage to step out of our comfort zone and allow God to bless our faith beyond measure. A corollary to number three is never step out of your comfort zone without prayer. I learned that the hard way when I was young and stupid. I was 15. I'd just gotten a provisional driver's license, which said I could drive a car if I had someone in the car with me with a regular license. It gave me an opportunity to invite a pretty little girl in the neighborhood who was a little bit older, had a license, and she surprised me and said, yeah, I'll go. Said, let's go on a picnic. So we drove out in the country, saw this beautiful tree underneath velvety green grass. Wow, that's where we'll have our picnic. Problem was, there was a high fence around that tree as far as I could see. But I knew there had to be a gate, so we went walking along the gate fence. Sure enough, found the gate, and it was unlocked. So I lifted the latch, started through it, and Marilyn said, no, we can't go in there. I said, why, Marilyn? She said, there's a black cow animal out there. He's going to hurt us. I said, oh, Marilyn, you're a city girl. And I lift the latch, and I started through, gave me a chance to be macho. So I went out to greet the cow. Hello, cow, how are you? The cow jumped to its feet, and I made three observations. Number one, the cow is very big. Big cow. Number two, cow is angry. Woke him up. Third, cow is a bull. In that moment, I did what Jesus did when he was tempted by Satan. I quoted Matthew 7:23 to that bull, depart from me that worketh iniquity. The bull was not a Bible student. So we took off running. As we got closer to the gate, I made one more observation. Marilyn had closed the gate. But in that moment, I set the national high school jumping record and leaped over that fence. And Marilyn was laughing at me, but I didn't care because I had learned the fourth lesson about prayer. But seriously, when you're making major decisions, career, financial, family, medical, always make prayer an integral part of the healing process or the dealing process. Some years ago, I hired a local architect. You would all know him probably if I gave you his name. He's a nice guy, but sometimes he would drink part of his lunch. And when he did, he would talk like the proverbial sailor. I kept asking God to give me an opening to witness to this architect. And then one day he gave me a plan. I invited the architect to the Prairie Village Bank and had arranged to use a conference room with glass walls all around. I reached in my briefcase, and the architect, I'm sure, was excited. I had another project for him. I pulled out my Bible, laid it on the table, and I asked him to read in Matthew what Jesus said about two roads. One road that leads to eternal destruction, and the other road that leads to eternal life. And I asked him, which road are you on? And he began to weep like a baby. And I was able to introduce him to his Savior, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And every March 6th after that, until he died, I received a card from him and said, today is my spiritual birthday, and I thank you. And he really, until he died, his life was totally changed. His language was totally changed. He was cleaned up. God wants us to be fishers of men. All we have to do is bait the hook. He'll catch them, and then he'll clean them. So my fifth lesson is, when we pray for souls and witness to family, neighbors, co-workers, God will use us as his instruments of grace. Pray for Overland Park. Pray for America. Claim 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, us, who are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Do you think America needs healing? Claim that verse. At age 47, God called me out of my comfort zone. Before launching a new business, my wife and I asked for God's guidance and blessing. And my wife of 62 years is here. Would you welcome Peggy? She's an amazing lady. But God's response to our prayer was not exactly what we had expected. He gave us the encouragement, and he would bless the business, but he said, you must sell it in 5 years and use the money for ministry. We didn't understand, but we accepted the challenge. And God mightily blessed the business, but after 5 years, I got cold feet. And I began to negotiate with God, and that's not a good idea. I said, God, business is great. This is a bad time to sell. How about later? God's reply was, go on a Jesus prayer retreat in India. Wow. God, that's not a good idea. India, that's a long way. I'm busy. God. 2 weeks later, I woke up in a Christian orphanage in Sankar Guptam, India, acting like a 10-year-old, throwing frisbees, laughing, chasing, teaching, encouraging, falling in love with street kids. Plus, I had lots of time to pray without the distractions of business. It was really hard to leave those kids because I knew we wouldn't see them again this side of heaven. But there's one little girl that especially touched me. She was with me constantly, carrying my Bible. Her name was Pravati, and as I was holding her and saying goodbye and hugging her, and she was grabbing my neck, and this little girl had no hair clip, she had no teddy bear, she had no book, she had no shoes, she had no parents, but she had a huge smile because now she had Jesus in her heart. But she wasn't smiling, she was bawling, and her tears were joining my tears. And this little girl whispered two words in English that changed my life. She said, my daddy. My daddy. And now I knew why God had sent me to India. I couldn't get back to Kansas City fast enough, immediately started the selling price process. And the sixth lesson was this: begin now to ask God about His plans, not your plans, His plans for your retirement. Think about that. Have you thought about it? Have you asked God? Maybe, just maybe, God has blessed your career so you can bless Him in the best years of your life. God's retirement plan for me and Peggy over the last 30 years has far exceeded our wildest dreams. Initially, after selling the business, we really didn't know what to do, and so we prayed. And after much prayer, we were led to establish a missions foundation to train and sponsor volunteers from this area to serve in 2 weeks or their vacation time on short-term mission trips. And over the next 5 years, 1,200 volunteers from around this area served in 30 impoverished countries, and God blessed them with over 25,000 first-time decisions for Christ. And additionally, the volunteers were forever changed. I loved working in the ghettos with people that were so loving. Although many lived in cardboard shacks, they were happy people. They reminded me so much of Provawati in India. But just as I was ready to spend the rest of my life ministering in third world countries, God totally reassigned me to the opposite extreme, to people of influence, governors, senators, owners of international businesses. I developed a seminar, a great success. And I would begin the seminar speaking to a group like this and say, I'm going to tell you the total story of success, including eternal success at the end. And if you don't want to hear that part, you can leave. It won't offend me. No one ever left. And then I would make this segue with the verse that Carl, the mayor, used. Only mine was in Matthew 16:26. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? God began to open doors, and over the next 10 years, we spoke in 750 amazing venues on five continents: Volkswagen, Supreme Court, the largest refinery in the world, Federal Congress, police academies, major universities. But more important, God opened hearts, and more than 55,000 people said that they had prayed for the first time to receive Christ. One time while speaking in Germany and Croatia, I received a surprising invitation. Come speak at a major Muslim university in a Muslim nation. I was excited about that, but I was a little apprehensive, to be honest with you, because I didn't know if they knew the message that I was going to bring. And I spoke in the theater of that university, and these beautiful people listened to every word. And then I did something I'd never done before at the time for the segue. I said, I'm going to take a 10-minute smoke break. And when you come back, if you come back, I'm going to share about eternity from a Christian perspective. And if you don't want to come back, I certainly understand. And so while they smoked, I was praying hard. And I claimed that verse as a little boy, principle number one: be anxious for nothing. I believe every one of them came back, filled that auditorium. And as I shared the plan of salvation and led them in the sinner's prayer, you could hear a pin drop. Amazing power of prayer. Many times God miraculously turned a hopeless situation through prayer into awesome victory for His glory. I flew into Santa Fe, Argentina, around noon, scheduled to go the next morning to TV stations and radio stations to promote a seminar that would be given in a large professional basketball arena. But there's one problem. That very day, the president of Argentina imposed martial law. All local TV and radio programs were canceled. I was told the seminar was dead. All I could do, and the most I could do, was pray. So I prayed like I'd never prayed before. I had no clue, just asked the Holy Spirit to intercede for me. And then, out of the blue, received a phone call from the governor's office of the state of Santa Fe. Said the governor would like to meet with you in the morning. I have no idea where that call came from. That was the first day I had been in the state of Santa Fe. I knew nobody in the state of Santa Fe except the hotel clerk. It's still a mystery, but not to God. After a cordial meeting with the governor, he left to fly to Buenos Aires for an emergency meeting, and I went out through the public exit into the rotunda of the Capitol, and was immediately surrounded by a sea of microphones and TV cameras, and they began to bombard me with questions. Who are you? What did the governor want to talk about? Why are you here? Well, I'm here to give a seminar. What on? On amazing success that everyone can have. Where are you going to speak? At the basketball arena. When? Tonight at 7 p.m. If I had paid $10,000 to a PR company, I couldn't have gotten the kind of publicity. I was told that those interviews were interjected throughout the day into the government programming, and that night, that arena was packed and people were standing, and 672 people prayed to receive Christ. Praise God. Seventh lesson, when facing a hopeless situation, remember, nothing is hopeless for our infinite God. And then, tap into His unlimited power through prayer. That's not the end of the story. 6 months later, I was back in northern Argentina, in Cordoba, and a lady took a bus 5 hours from Santa Fe to talk to me. She said, my son, college student, was at your seminar and he prayed to receive Christ and I saw an immediate change in his life. But she said 3 days later, he was in an automobile accident and he was killed. And she said, I just wanted to come and say thank you. She said, I know my son is in heaven waiting to give you a hug and say thank you for introducing me to Jesus Christ. That really woke me up. I was no longer speaking to thousands of faceless people. I was speaking to thousands of souls, everyone having a need. Spiritual need. I'm so thankful that that young man did not procrastinate. He silently had prayed with me in a packed basketball arena. This is the bonus prayer, a bonus lesson that I've learned. He prayed a prayer that changed his eternal destination. Some years ago, many years ago, there was a survey in the United States of the top 1% influential people. And they were given a list of things and said, if you could select one of these, which would you select? And some said they wanted more power, more prestige, influence, money. But the answer that was predominant surprised, I think, the people that made the survey. Was they said, when I die, I want the assurance that I'll go to heaven. Top influential people in the United States. they didn't know. And so the question is, how can we know for sure? Many say, well, be good, be moral, go to church, be baptized, give to the poor, be sincere. Well, these are good things, but these are man's ideas. These are man's opinions on how to get into heaven. Well, heaven was created by God. And so he makes the rules. He established the criteria for entrance into heaven. His plan is clearly revealed in God's word. Romans 3:23 says we're all sinners. Who can deny that? Romans 6:23 says there's a penalty for that sin, and it's eternal death. Not the kind of death that we experience on earth, but spiritual death. Death where we are separated from all mankind. People say, well, I don't mind going to hell. All my friends are there. It's probably true, but you're not going to see them. They're not going to see you. You're going to be totally isolated and isolated from God for all eternity. Serious stuff. Ephesians 2:8-9 says we can never be good enough or work hard enough on our own to get into heaven. That's not the way it works. We're saved by God's grace, not by our good deeds. The Bible says there's only one road, one way to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But the Bible also brings a message of good news. God is a God of love. He wants everyone to be on that road to heaven. The Bible gives us John 3:16. I think you've heard that or at least seen it at football games. The key to salvation is Jesus Christ. God loves you and me so much that he gave his only son, that if you and me believe in him and repent of our sins, we will not perish but have everlasting life. How about you? You may know about Jesus. You may go to church and do good deeds. But do you have a spiritual birthday? If you do, you know it. That's the day you got on your knees and you prayed to receive Jesus to come into your life. You may say, well, I know about Jesus. Well, the demons know Jesus and they tremble. Knowing Jesus is not the answer. Moving Jesus from your head to your heart is the answer. If you're not sure, you can do what that young man did in Santa Fe. Right now, I'm going to say, same prayer, the words are not magic. It's the sincerity of your heart that God judges. And if you silently pray along with me, and you're sincere, you'll settle it once and for all, and you only have to do it one time. You may feel a little tugging inside right now, discomfort. You may wish I would sit down, that this was all over. That's good news. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you, saying, now is the time for salvation. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. You don't know if you have 3 days to live. You may have 3 decades, 6 decades. You may have 3 months. You may have 3 minutes. They may carry me out of here. They may carry you out of here. You don't know. I don't know. Which road do you want to be on? So I'm going to pray for you believers. You may want to pray that God will up your prayer life. But if you have never prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to close your eyes. No one's looking except God. And just silently pray along with me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know the penalty is eternal death. I don't understand all the Bible, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross on my behalf, shed his blood for me, that the only forgiveness is through the shedding of blood. perfect blood. I'm so sorry for my sins. And I want you to come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. And I thank you. Amen. That little blue card that you have, hope you've already filled it out. If you haven't, we're going to take time for you to fill it out. This CBMC would like to just have a record of your attendance. The first, on the right side, pick it up and look at it. Look at the right side. First block there says, I prayed to receive Christ for the first time. If you did, I want you to put a check mark in there. And there's other box you might want to check, and you might want to add a box. Just put the word prayer. I made a commitment to up my prayer life, but just write the word prayer. And then fill it out, and we're going to take time for you to do it. So please do it right now. Okay, it looks like most of you are just about finished. Go ahead and finish. But I also want you to pick up the brown card, take a look at it. This is a CBMC's card. It has a little homework on the back side, but on the front side at the bottom is a website, marketplaceambassador.com. This is an amazing website. If you just prayed tonight, this morning, for the first time, there's links there that will help you to grow, to understand what you've just done. If you've been a believer for 30 years, there's links in there that will help you to perhaps disciple someone online or face-to-face. It's amazing. I love it. That is a wonderful website. Best one that I know of. It really is. There's a CBMC table out in the vestibule. They'd love for you to drop by and meet you and see some of the materials they have. Leave your cards on the table. Let me just say, you've been great. It's gone a little long, but you've been a great audience. And I just want to say thank you very much.